Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin. We begin on the very second line of Ayin Omid Aleph, where we quote the Mishnah. At the end of yesterday's share, we were talking about the Kohen Gadol laning, reading from the Torah on Yom Kippur. So we had set certain rules then, and we continue and said that the Kohen Gadol, after he concluded the first two lanings that he did, he would then skip from Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim, he would go and skip all the way to Bamidbar. So he closed the Sefer Torah, Vagolo Sefer Torah Vechule. He would close up the Sefer Torah and then say there's much more here. It's not a Pogum Sefer Torah, it's not missing, but I'm going to say the rest outside. He would read the rest by heart. Shemur says, Vakol Kach Lama, how come? What was the concern over here that he had to close up the Sefer Torah and say there's much more here, but I'm skipping and I'm going to just read the rest by heart? So the Gemara says, Kadesh Lohotzi Laz al Sefer Torah. The people shouldn't say that this Sefer Torah is not a kosher Sefer Torah. As Rashi points out, the Dibur Masu Shlolohotzi, he says, Kishiroen Oso, Kori Parsha Shlishis al Pet, when they see him reading from Parsha's Pinchas and they see him reading by heart, you swarm, they would say, Shesefer Torah Choser, Oso Parsha. It must be missing that Parsha, and we cast aspersions on that Sefer Torah as not being a kosher Sefer Torah. And then the Mishnah is quoted again and says, he would go read from Parshas Pinchas, he would read the Maftir laning for Yom Kippur, he would read the Psukim that deal with the Karban Musaf of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Amai, why does he read this by heart? Right? We said, Bedavka, he reads it Kori Al Peh. Why does he read it by heart? Let him go and mish the Sefer Torah, Niglo, let him turn the Sefer Torah to the right place, Vinikre, and go and read it. So this teaches us a tremendous insight. Amar Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Rav Huna, the son of Yeshua, said, Amar Rav Sheshes, said the name of Rav Sheshes, Lefisha Ein Golan Sefer Torah B'Tzibur, Mipnei Kavod HaTzibur, because it would be a Tircha de Tzibura. As Rashi points out, Kavod HaTzibur means Shri Mitzapim, the Domim Lekah. They have to sit there and wait and sit in silence and can't do anything while they're rolling it, and that would be a Tircha for the Tzibur. It wouldn't be a proper Kavod for the Tzibur. They should have to go roll the Sefer Torah. So therefore, it's preferable that we go and say it by heart. Now, normally we have a problem. You're not allowed to read Dvarim Shebichsav Al Peh. When the Torah is supposed to be written down, there's actually an Isser potentially in reading it by heart. So the simplest teretz given by many of the poskim is that if you're not doing something to be fulfilling an actual mitzvah, so then if it's something that's shkura b'fiv, it's something that you're commonly used to saying, many psukim in the davening, for example, that people say by heart, they're just very familiar with them, so then it's not a problem. So to over here, we're not absolutely obligated to go and read these psukim according to many, and therefore, when he goes and reads them, he can read them outside because of the aspect of Tircha de Tzibura. Others explain that it's not an issa to go read Dvarim Shebichsav Al Peh, it's just preferable to go read them inside, but in a situation like this, because of Kavod HaTzibur, you'd be allowed to go read it outside. In any event, the Gemara asks another obvious question. It says, so go bring a second Sefer Torah. V'nai si'achrina v'nikre. Go bring a second Sefer Torah and read from that. And this way, okay, the Tzibur won't be waiting while you're mishing. So Gemara says, Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar, no. Mishum pagamo shurishon. People are going to suspect that the first Sefer Torah was possible. That's why you're taking out a second Sefer Torah. Right in the middle of a laning on a Shabbos, if they find that there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah, so they have to take out a new Sefer Torah. The first Sefer Torah is now Pogum. It is blemished. And therefore, we don't want to have people mistakenly think that the first Sefer Torah is Pogum because you're taking out a second Sefer Torah. Rish Lakish gives a slightly different reason. Rish Lakish Omar Mishum Bracha Sheina Tzricha. Because you're now going to make an unnecessary bracha. You didn't really need a second Sefer Torah. So granted, if you bring out another Sefer Torah, you have to make a bracha, but this is a bracha shein tzricha. As Rashi says, she tzarech lachzor levarach. You're causing us to have to make another bracha when we technically didn't have to. So therefore, it would be preferable to do it outside by heart rather than bringing a second Sefer Torah and having to make another bracha, which would be a bracha shein tzricha. It really wasn't necessary. So Rish Lakish's answer we don't question, but Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, his answer that it looks like it's a pagam on the first Sefer Torah, we do question that, because after all of us are familiar with taking out two Sefer Torah, sometimes even three Sefer Torah on a Shabbos, and nobody ever says, well, we're concerned that people are going to think that the first Sefer Torah, the second Sefer Torah is pagam. So Gemara says, well, Michai Shinan Lefkama, are we really concerned over here about the pagam, that people might suspect that the first Sefer Torah is not good? After all, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha said that, for example, on Rosh Chodesh Teves, which is of course Chanukah, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, which falls out on Shabbos, so you have three lanings that you have to do that day, and you'd have to mish a little bit, so therefore we take out three Sifrei Torah, Mevi'in Shalosh Torahs for Korah. Now, you're specifically taking out an extra Sefer Torah, and people aren't concerned about the pagam to the first Sefer Torah. Hey, why aren't you laning for the first Sefer Torah? Hey, why aren't you laning for the second Sefer Torah? Because you're doing a separate laning. So just like on Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, which falls out on Shabbos, we have three readings. Mivin Shalosh Torahs V'Korin, Achas Bin Yonash Yom. One is the regular parsha of that day. V'Achas Shal Rosh Chodesh, and one is for Rosh Chodesh, which of course is Rosh Chodesh Teves. It's in parentheses, but it's Rosh Chodesh Teves. And V'Achas Shal Chanukah, and the other one is for the Chanukah Leni. So nobody says, hey, the first Sefer Torah were a pogrom. It's only the third one that's kosher. So why over here on Yom Kippur wouldn't we say the same thing? Nobody would say that the first Sefer Torah is pogrom if you took out a second one to do the laning from Parshas Pinchas. So the Gemara says, no, that's different. Because Tloso Gavrei with Tloso Sifrei, you don't have the same person getting an aliyah from the first Sefer Torah, and then gets an aliyah from the second Sefer Torah, or then gets an aliyah from the third Sefer Torah. It's three different people. So everybody's going to say, of course, it's perfectly kosher. Lack of pagama, there is no problem. You took out another Sefer Torah for another person. However, when you're reading the same person and he takes out a new Sefer Torah, Chad Gaber B'tei Sifrei, the Kohen Gadol is reading from Sefer Torah number one from Achrimos, and then they take out a second Sefer Torah, the Rifa Michos, and the same Kohen Gadol is reading it. Yeah, people in that situation, when it's Chad Gaber B'tei Sifrei, Ika Pagama, some people are going to mistakenly think that there was some problem with the first Sefer Torah, and that's why we don't do it on Yom Kippur, but we have no problem doing it on another day like Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Chanukah. Then we quote the last part of the Mishnah where we said, Umivarech Aleh Shmona Brachos. We explained that you make a bracha beforehand, but the Mishnah wasn't talking about that. But after you conclude the laning, so then the Kohen Gadol makes eight brachos after this laning. What are these eight brachos? We already mentioned them previously. We just quickly go through them again here in the Braisa, and it says as follows. Tana Rabbanim, we learned in the Braisa, the first bracha is Ala Torah, which is, as we said, Ashenos Alana Torah Semes. I said all of these brachos previously in the Shir. I won't go repeat them all now. The first bracha is Kederach Shemavarchim, the Vesak Nesses. Like everybody today gets an aliyah, so they make a bracha before and they make a bracha afterwards. So too the Kohen Gadol have to make the bracha before, again, which we weren't discussing. That was given. And then he makes the first bracha afterwards, Ashenos Alon Terasim Mes. Kederach Shemavarchim, the Vesak Nesses, like we do anytime anybody gets an aliyah. Then he makes the bracha, Alo Avoda, all the Avoda that we did, V'Alo Da, and he gives thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Amachilas HaAvod. And he also gives a special bracha that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiving us for our sins, and I went through some of the nusach of these earlier when we did this in the Mishnah. And he does all of these kisikna. In the Ksiv Yad, it has kisiknon. In any event, why? Why is this called kisiknon or kisikna? So he brings that from the Sefer Chasdei David on the Tosefta. He specifically bedafka nokat this lashon over here for these three brachos of the avoda, hodah, and mechilas avon. He said kisiknon because the other brachos he's going to say bifnei atzma. So what's the diuk in the lashon over here to teach us sheshar brachos yesh to call echad mehen din bracha haba bifnei atzma. There's a distinction here. Each of those is considered a bracha by itself. It's not considered a series of brachos, and that's why they all started off with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, as opposed to these three brachos, which are a continuation. Just like in the Shemoneh Esrei, each bracha is connected to the bracha in front of it. We don't start off each bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, other than the first one, with a Baruch Atah Hashem. So after we finish Magen Abraham, we start off Atah Gibor. After we finish Mechaya Mesa, we start off Atah Kadosh. After we finish Hamelach HaKadosh or Akela Kadosh, we say the bracha atachonein. So we don't need a baruch atah Hashem because it's a series of brachos. It's a bracha smuch el chaverta. But what he's telling us by using the lashon kisikdon for these, as the takana is for these in this order, but the others that we call bifnei atzman, they have to start off with a baruch atah Hashem. He adds, you might have thought because of the Kedusha Sayom that they should also, and because of the covenant of Kohen Gadol, each one should start off with a Baruch Atah Hashem, even the Baruch HaSmuch L'Chaverta. So that's why it says Kesichna. No, this is the way that the Chacham set up the Takana of a Baruch HaSmuch L'Chaverta. That applies over here as well. So that's the first four brachos. Where it continues, and the Brisa continues and says the last four brachos, V'yala Mikdash with Ne'atzma, a separate bracha for the Beis HaMikdash, V'yala Kohanim with Ne'atzma, a separate bracha for the Kohanim, V'yala Yisrael with Ne'atzma, a separate bracha for Klai Yisrael, and then finally the last eighth bracha is V'yala Shara Tzvi, which we'll explain in a moment. But each of these, as I pointed out from the Chaz Dei David, would begin with a Baruch to Hashem, and it ended off with the Nusach of the bracha that we had discussed previously. What is V'yal Shar Tefillah, the last one that's for the rest of the davening? So Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa continues and tells us, U'Shar Tefillah, what is this bracha? So this bracha is Rina Techina Bakosha Milfanecha. This is a special Rina, special song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a special supplication. Techina is a supplication, special Bakosha, special asking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that what should be Al Amcha Yisrael, should Tzrichim Livoshea, to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your people need saving. We need to have a Yeshua. The Chosim, and we conclude this bracha with Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Now, this concludes the special eighth brachos that the Kohen Gadol says after the conclusion of the Leini. Now, the Achakach, after this, Kol Echad, the Echad, all the people in the Azara, if they had, maybe Sefer Torah Mibeso. There's a mitzvah for every person to write a Sefer Torah if possible. Today, according to many poskim, you can fulfill this mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah by purchasing Svarim. But certainly there is a mitzvah of each person purchasing, owning a Sefer Torah, or ideally they should have one written, they should order a Sefer Torah as opposed to just purchasing a Sefer Torah, but one can fulfill this mitzvah in a number of different ways. In any event, then all the people will go to their houses and bring their Sefer Torah, Mibesa, from their houses. Now, according to the Mepharshim, they would bring them Erev Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to carry them on Yom Kippur in a public area. So therefore, they would go and bring them before Yom Kippur, and they would put them someplace in the Azara, and then in the Beis HaMikdash area, the Korebo, and everybody would go read from their Sefer Torah, Kedei Laharos Chazuso L'Rabim, to show the beauty of this Sefer Torah to the entire public. Rashi points out the purpose of this was Laharos Noyev Shel Sefer Torah V'tif Erez Ba'alea Shetorach L'Sanos. The purpose of this is that everybody should show the beauty of the Sefer Torah and how much they were willing to sacrifice and to put in the effort to make a beautiful Sefer Torah based upon the pasuk that we have in Oz Yashir, Zeh Keli, this is my God, V'andeyu, and I will adorn him, I will do everything possible to glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, his snar, the fun of b'mitzvos. For example, lulav noah, sefer torah noah, b'klaf noah, b'dio noah, all the mitzvos that we do, we should try to do them in as most beautiful possible way as possible. B'lavler, uman, a great professional scribe, we do everything in the best possible way to glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos. And again, here as Rashi points out, at the end of this Rashi, on the Erev Yom Kippur, maybe Misham, they would bring it Erev Yom Kippur because you couldn't carry it on Yom Kippur. Then we quote the very end of the Mishnah, Haroeh Kohen Gadol v'chulei. We said, if a person sees the Kohen Gadol doing the laning, so then he obviously isn't going to see the Kohanim that brought the remainder of the Sar Lashem and the power of Yom Kippur to the Beis HaSreif, he won't be able to see them burned. Mipnei she'ein rashoi, because you're not able to do both. Now the Gemara says pshita, obviously they're occurring simultaneously, so they're in different places, they're far away from each other, it's going to be physically impossible for somebody to be at both places at the same time. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah telling us that a person is not allowed, he's not able to go see both at the same time? So the Gemara says pshita, it's obvious you can't see both of them, so why do you have to tell this to me? So the Gemara says no, I might have thought, mal detei moki de Rish Lakish, I might have thought that it's be usher to go and leave the Azara to go watch them do the burning of the Sar Lashem and the power of Yom Kippur. Why is that? Because the Omer Reish Lakish ain mavirin ala mitzvos. A person is not allowed to pass over doing a mitzvah. So Rashi explains, umal detema hainami avurehu. One might have thought that this is considered passing over a mitzvah. He's in the Azara, sheminiach zu v'holech lirozu, and instead he leaves the Azara to go and watch the burning of the Sar Lashem and the power of Yom Kippur. So I might have thought that you're missing out on doing this mitzvah, you're passing it over, and therefore it should be forbidden to leave. Kamashvalon, the Mishnah is telling us not. Well, my mitzvah, what exactly are the issues over here that you're passing over doing one mitzvah to go and do a different mitzvah? So the answer is, Berov Am Hadras Melech, that as Rashi points out, my mitzvah shebiriyosan yesh kan mitzvah mishum berov am hadras melech. What mitzvah are you fulfilling by going to see the burning of the par of Yom Kippur, the burning of the Sol Hashem? This is a mitzvah of berov am hadras melech. A very important idea, that the more people are present, that gives more glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why there's a din, for example, if two minyanim are exactly the same, you should ideally go and daven in the minyan that has more people. If it won't ishter your kavana, if it won't impact anything else, they're absolutely equal choices. So then, berov hamadras melech, a person should daven in the larger minyan. In any event, so berov hamadras melech is a very important idea. So you might have thought that it would be forbidden to go and leave the laning in order to go and do this other mitzvah. So kamashulam, no, that's not called mavirin ala mitzvah. So a person would be allowed to go leave one here to do the other. They're not considered in this situation that you're doing something wrong, that you're mavirin ala mitzvah. Now there is a separate din that a person is not allowed to leave in the middle of the laning. You can see this in the bottom Tosus Yishanim on this daf. So he says, "We avo gav the armin brachos." The Gemara in Brachos tells us a very famous rule: "The ozve Hashem yichalu." So those that leave Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be destroyed. So this is referring to ze haminiach sefer Torah v'yotzei bein psuka lepsuka. So this is a person who's leaving in the middle of the laning. That's considered something that's incorrect. However, mikol makom, he concludes and he says, and he turned the Tosfos Yishanim to the other page, to the Omid Beis. He says, mikol makom, yochol leilech b'shah shegolel me'achrimos li'ach be'asar. You would be allowed to leave in between while they're mishing the sefer from the first laning to the second laning. Afal pishen haturgum and mafsik. Or you can leave at the other point after the second laning, when he rolls up the Sefer Torah and he puts it in his chest and he's going to read the third part out loud, so by heart, so then you're allowed to leave at those points in time. That's not considered Ozu Hashem Yikol. Kamash Malon, this is all acceptable. Now we start the next Mishnah. Now, we had just finished doing all of the different avodas, of the blood avodas for the par of Yom Kippur and the Sor Lashem. We just sent off the Sor Lazazel. The Kohen just finished the laning, and now he has to do the rest of the Korbanos of the day. Now, he was either dressed in his big day boots, which we said he was allowed to continue to wear, the white four garments, the linen garments, he was allowed to wear them during the laning, or if he wished, he was allowed to bring his own white garments, his own Itzlitz Lovon, from his house and wear that during the laning. It wasn't considered a full avoda that he had to wear big day kahuna. But he certainly now had to get back into the big day zav, his eight normal golden garments that he would have to wear for the rest of the avoda that wasn't specific for the lefnai v'lefnim. Those he had to wear the white garments, but these were avodas of Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol had to do. For example, the musafim and the other special korbanos of the day. So these were done in his golden garments, his eight garments. So the Mishnah starts and tells us, in the big day boots, Kori, if he left on the white four linen garments that he wore, lefnai v'lefnim, so now he has to take them off. So kidish yod v'raglov, and then poshat yard v'tava. This goes according to the opinion. Remember, we had a machlokas between the Chacham and Reb Meir as to, everybody agreed you did 10 hand washings and feet washings. You did the hand and feet washings 10 times. Once when you took off the clothing, and once when you put on the clothing. So there was a machlokas between the Chacham and Reb Meir exactly when you did it. So according to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama of the Mishnah that we had on Daf Lamid Dalid, so the Kohen Gadol would go and do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim every time he took off the Big Day Kahuna. Before he took them off, he did one Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and then would do the second Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim after he put on the new Big Day Kahuna. Rabbeir, on the other hand, disagreed. He said that the Kohen Gadol doesn't do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim until after he took off the Big Day Kahuna. So this is a famous machlokas we had over there in Daf Lamed Dalet as to when the first Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim was done, either before you took off the Big Day Kahuna or right after you took off the Big Day Kahuna before you went down to be Tovo. So our Mishnah is following the opinion of the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, that says that you did this Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim before you took off the Big Day Kahuna, and that would be the consistent opinion throughout this Mishnah, realizing, of course, the Rebbe would disagree. So, in any event, if he was wearing the Big Day boots at this point in time, Kidesh Yodov Raglev, he would go and wash his hand and his feet. Again, his right hand, his right foot together, then his left hand, his left foot together. And Parshat, he would take off those Big Day boots that he was wearing, and Yarad Vitova. And he would go down to the mikvah and be Tova. If he had already taken off the Big Day boots and put on his Itzlis Lavan, so then he did this Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim beforehand. Okay, in any event, he now takes off whatever clothing he was wearing, the big day butz or the itzlis lavan, and he goes down to the mikvah. And Allah, he comes up from the mikvah in his topic, he dries himself off. This is the third time that the Kohen Gadol is doing a tefillah. The first time was when he entered the Beis HaMikdash and he did the carbon tumid in the golden garments. Then he took those off and he immersed himself for the second time before he did the Lufnai V'Lufnim Avoda. And now he took those off and now he's going to the mikvah for the third time to put back on the big days of the Hevilo big days of which he puts back on, and the Labash, he puts them on, the Kiddush of the Viragla, then he does another Kiddush Adayim Viraglayim. Again, everybody agrees that there were five Tfilos and 10 Kiddush Adayim Viraglayim during the day of Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol, and now he's finished his third tefillah and the six Kiddush Adayim Viraglayim, and the Yatzah, he leaves that area of Asa es Elo v'es Elo'am. He now does the korbanos that are described in Chumash. He brings his own ayil, and he brings an ayil for the Am, and he also brings, these are Olos, and he brings Eis Shivas Kivosim Tmimim B'nei Shana. He brings seven Kivosim that are male, that are unblemished, that are in the first year of life. And these are all korbanos. Ola divrei Rabbi Elazar. This is the words of Rabbi Elazar. Now note that Rabbi Elazar doesn't mention anything about an additional par that is also brought as an ola, which it's mentioned in Chumash. This is separate, of course, from the par of the Kohen Gadol that he brought earlier for the Lufnai V'Lufnim service. This is an ola that's brought on the outer Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar doesn't mention this. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Along comes Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva Omer, Im Tomit Shel Shachar Hayu Kraven. He says all of these korbanos that Rabbi Eliezer just said, according to Rabbi Akiva, they were brought much earlier in the day. They were brought when the Kohen Gadol did the Korban Tumah Shel Ben Arbayim. The first time he was wearing the Shmona Begadim, the golden garments, so he did all of these korbanos that we just said now, the two ayils, the ayil that he did for himself and the ayil that he did for the Am, and the Shavak Vosim Tumimim B'nei Shana. So according to Rabbi Akiva, he did them earlier in the day. Rabbi Eliezer says he did them now. Rabbi Akiva says he did them earlier in the day. And then we have an enigmatic statement. It then says in the Mishnah, Upar ha'ola, and also the par that is an ola, as opposed to the par that was lufnai v'lufnim, which is a chatos. In any event, Rabbi Eliezer hadn't mentioned this. The Gemara will ask, when did Rabbi Eliezer say that this was done? But now this statement of the Mishnah, is this upara ola? Does that go back on the statement that we just made that, according to Rabbi Akiva, this was done with the Tumah Shel Shachar in the first immersion that the Kohen Gadol did, which afterwards he did all of the Korban Tumah Shel Shachar activities and these two ayils, the seven kvasim, and also the para ola? Or does this upara ola start a new statement? And by the way, according to Rabbi Akiva, upara ola, and then visar hanasa b'chutz, there's another sayer, which is a chatos, which is different than the Sar Lashem, which is just like there's a par that's inside and the par that's outside. So there was the Sar Lashem that was inside, and then there's a Sar, a regular chatos, Hanasa Bechutz. And this is also done, how you crave it, Im Tomish Ben Arbaim. This was done with the Tomish Ben Arbaim, which, therefore, these korbanos go much later in the day. So the question that the Gemara will ask is, this upara ola, does that go with the first part of Rabbi Kiva's statement that it's done with the Tumah Shel Shachar, or does it go with the second part of Rabbi Kiva's statement with the Sar Hanasa Bechutz, that you also do the para ola then as well, and they were makriv in the Tumah Shel Ben Arbayim? In any event, whatever korbanos were done right now, after that, Kidesh Yodav Viraglav, he would go and have to remove the golden garment, so he did the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, and then he would take them off. Again, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, who argued with Rabbi Meir, when you did the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, so he now did the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, Uposha, he would take off the Shmona Begadim, the golden garments, the Yard V'Tavel, he went to the mikvah, this is the fourth time he goes to the mikvah, the olive in his stopeg, he dries himself off after the mikvah, and now they bring him back the white garments. This is the new change in garments, Vilo Big De Lavan, he has to put back on the white garments, and again, he puts them on the Lavash, with Kiddush of the Raglav. After you put on the garments, everybody agrees you do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, both the Chachamim and Reb Meir, and now he goes into the next section of the day, which is to go back Lufnai V'Lufnim. You only wear the white garments when you're doing stuff Lufnai V'Lufnim. Nichnas, he goes back inside the Lufnai V'Lufnim into the Holy of Holies. Lahotzi Esakaf V'Esamachta, he had left behind the kaf that was filled with the incense, which he then had to pour into his hands, the Mlo Chofnav, and the machta, the shovel, which he carried inside the coals. So those utensils had to be removed from the Kodesh Kodashim. So he would wear the white garments to go back inside Lufnai v'Lufnim, Nichnas Lahotzi Esakaf v'Samakti, would go take them out, and once he took them out, he put them back where they were supposed to go, so he would now have to take off the white garments. So Kiddush Yod V'Raglav, Lishitaso Rav Meir, would say that he did this afterwards, but according to the Tana on the Tanakhama of Rav Meir from back on Lamed Dalet, so the Mishnah follows that opinion of the Chachamim. Kiddush Yod V'Raglav, he would wash his hands and his feet and then take off the white garments, Uparshat, the Yorei V'Tovah Lo V'Nistapek, V'Olo V'Nistapek. So then he would go to the mikvah. This is the fifth and final time he goes to the mikvah, and he would dry himself off after the mikvah, and they would now bring him Hevi'el Lo Big Dei Zohav. They would bring him his Big Dei Zohav, his golden garments, because he had to do the final activities of the day, which the Mishnah tells us that we would do in his golden garments the last time, the Nichnas Lahakti Ketorish Lebein Abayim, he would do the regular afternoon Ketorish that was done every single day, including Yom Kippur, not the special Ketorish that he did with Naiv Lefnim. This was the regular Haktoris that he did in the morning, and he now did it again Bein Hor Abayim, and he also did the Hatovas Haneiros, Ulahite Vesaneiros. Again, we had discussed previously the five and the two Neiros that he had to do, and he did this Hatovas Haneiros at this point in time as well. We had a whole discussion previously. If they were still lit, he didn't have to do anything during the days of the great Kohanim Gedolim, like, for example, Shimon HaTzadik, for all 40 years it stayed lit. So it's a question, what exactly was involved in the Hatovas Haneiros when it stayed lit? In any event, whatever needed to be done at this point in time, Lahotiv Haneiros, he did that as well. And this finished off the activities of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So now he just has to take off his clothing for the last time and put back on his personal private clothing. So again, there's a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, the Kiddush Yod V'Raglav. He would take, after he washed his hands and his feet, Uparshat, he would take off the Big Dei Kahuna. Now, we have, for reasons that are unclear, in parentheses, it's totally incorrect, V'Yorad V'Toval Olo V'Nistapik. So he didn't have a sixth immersion. So this is a mistake, clearly, and it's why it's in parentheses, and the Masoras HaShas says that we delete this. Obid, he says this is the Gears of the Yerushalmi, but in the Diktuke Sofrim and others, and many of the Ksiviyads of the Rishonim, these four words, Yor V'Tovah, all of it is topic, aren't found. In any event, there doesn't seem to be a purpose for this sixth tefillah, and we're not Goris it. So finally, Hevilo Big Dei Atzmo, they bring him his own clothing. Now he puts on his own personal clothing. The Lavash, he gets dressed, and then everybody escorts him back to his house in great fanfare. Malavino, so I base so. Everybody's so thrilled that the Kohen Gadol survived the day of Yom Kippur. He did all the avodas correctly, which was not a given during the second base of Migdash for sure, when we said that so many Kohanim Gedolim, over 300 Kohanim Gedolim, didn't really live through Yom Kippur. So this was a major event. If the Kohen Gadol survived, they would escort him to his house. The Yom Tova Yo'osa Li'ova, we would make a big yontif for all the people that loved him, for all his friends and family, and Bishor Shiotza Bisholim in HaKodesh, when he survived the Yom Kippur service, so you make a big yantif, make a big suda on the next day for all of his friends and his family. Gemara starts off and says, Ibarlu, they asked the following Shaila, Hechi Komar. I pointed out that enigmatic statement that we had in the Mishnah, where we said, in the middle of Rabbi Akiva's statements, we said, U par ha'ola. And we didn't know, did that go back on the first statement of Rabbi Akiva that was done with the common Tobit Shal Shachris, or did it go on the next statement, Vesar Hanasa Vichutz, are you craving in Tomit Shobain Harbayim, that they were all brought with the Tomit Shobain Harbayim? So that's the first of three questions that we're going to address here now. So, Hechi Kamar, Im Tomit Shal Shachar, are you craving? And then, Upar Ha'olo Vesar Hanasa Vichutz, Im Tomit Shobain Harbayim, do we say that the first statement was alone, and then the par goes with the second statement, Odil Mahaki Kamar, this is what he said. In Tomit Shal Shachar you craving, that the Paraola was with the Tomit Shal Shachris. U Paraola Bahadayu. And the Par went with that. And then a new statement, the Sara Nasa Bechutz, in Tomit Shal Bein Arbayim. Only the Sara Nasa Bechutz, that is the one that's done Bein Arbayim, with the Korban Tomit Shal Bein Arbayim. So that's the first question that we ask. Before we answer this, it's two more questions. So another question. The Paraola that was only mentioned by Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, the Shaire, Amos Avidlay. So when did Rabbi Eliezer say that this par was supposed to be brought? It wasn't mentioned in his sheet at all. It was only mentioned in the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. So that's question number two that we have to address. And finally, the third question. So both of the great Tanoim, Bein Rabbi Eliezer, Bein Rabbi Akiva, both of these Tanoim, they don't mention anything about the actual bringing of the sacrificial fats from the Sar Lashem and the power of the Lefnai v'Lefnim, Emurei Chatos, Amas Avedu, when did the Kohen Gadol bring those? Remember, we had said earlier in the day that we cut them open before we took these two behemoths out to the Beis HaSreifa. We cut them open. We took out the sacrificial fats. We put them in this magis. And we said, lehakriva, not that you do it right then and there, but you get it ready to be maktir later on. But nobody mentions when that later on is. So they say, muri chatos, emas avadlu. When does the Kohen Gadol actually bring these up to the Adam Mizbeach and is maktir them? So Gemara says, all three of these can be answered in the following way. Amar Rava, Rava says, lo mishkachas law, we do not find misakanta, that it's set up correctly to know the right order of the day of Yom Kippur, Ella, Ola Rabbi Eliezer, the Torah de Rabbi Shmuel, Ola Rabbi Akiva, Kinda Tosefta. The only way to know their full shitos is to see them listed. And where are they listed? So in the brises of the Beis Medrash of Shmuel, they taught us the proper entire procedure for Rabbi Eliezer. And in the Tosefta, it taught us the entire proper procedure according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, first we'll do the brises of Shmuel. The Torah de Shmuel, they learned in the brises in the Beis Medrash of Shmuel that the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer goes as follows. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, his opinion is, so this is after he did his third tefillah. He got out of the big day boots that he wore during the laning, or the itzlus lovin that he wore during the laning, and now he does the third tefillah, and now he does all of those activities that we mentioned in the Mishnah, plus more. So Rabbi Eliezer says, during this wearing of the Shmona Begadim, the eight golden garments, so also Elo Ve'el Om, he does the aisle for himself and the aisle for the Om. These are two Korban Olos. And he does the Emure Chatos. He does the Emurim from the sacrificial fats of the Sor Lashem and the Par that was Lefnai V'Lefnim. However, Avo Para Ola, but here it says with Erish that the Para Ola, which he didn't mention at all in the Mishnah, and the Shivas Kivasim, the seven kvasim that are olos, the sar hanasa b'chutz, and also the sar, which is a chatas, that was done outside, as opposed to the sar l'Hashem, which was done lefnai v'lefnim. So all of these, according to Rabbi Eliezer, im tamid shobein horabayim. He did these in the conjunction with the korban tamid shobein horabayim. Not like Rabbi Akiva, who says he did them with the korban tamid shoshachar, some of them. So this is the full listing in the brises that they taught in the Beis Medrash of Shmuel. This is the full understanding of Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, what was done when. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva's Shita, that can be found in the Tosefta. Rabbi Akiva, the Tosefta, Mahi, what is that? The Tanya, it tells us in the Tosefta, it tells us in the Brisa. Rabbi Akiva Omer, here's Rabbi Akiva's Shita. He says, and here we define the answer, what was the para ola? Did it go on the Korban Tamid Shel Shachris, or did it go with the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim? So here it says, Beferish, that the para ola, this special para which was an ola, and the Shivas Kvasim, the seven Kvasim, which were also olos, so these were all brought in Tomit Shal Shachar Kraven. They're all brought with the Korban Tomit Shal Shachris. Shenemar. Where does he get this from? It says, Muvad Olas HaBoker Sheli Olas HaTemid. Because these are all brought in addition, besides the Korban Tomit Shal Shachris. And only afterwards, Yachakach Avodas Hayom, he does the Avoda of the day, meaning the par of the Lefnai V'Lefnim and the Sor Lashem Lefnai V'Lefnim, then the Kohen Gadol does all of that. After the first time he's wearing his Big Day Kahuna, he then goes to the second Tefillah, and now he did already all of these Korbanos with the Korban Tamid Shel Shachris that we just mentioned, the Par Le'ola and the Shiva Kvasim. He then does in the Big Day Lavan, after the second Tefillah, he goes and does the Chatos that are Pnimios, the Par of Yom Kippur, that's Lefnai V'Lefnim, the Sor Lashem, that's Lefnai V'Lefnim, and only after that, after he does the V'Achakach Avodah Sayom, after he does the Avodah of the day, and we turn to Ayin Amud Beis, he then does V'Achakach Sor Hanasa B'Chutz. He goes and immerses himself for the third time, that's after the laning, and that's the third tefillah. He then does the Sor Hanasa B'Chutz, that's a Chatos, and this is as opposed to the Sor Hanasa L'Fnim, the Sor Lashem, and this is based upon Shenema. The Pesukim say, Sir Izim Echod Chatos, there's this one additional outer Sor that's a Chatos, Nuvad Chatas HaKippurim, which is separate from the Chatos that we mentioned, the L'Fnai V'Lefnim. And then at that same time, after he does the Sir Izim that's Bachutz, which has to be after the Sor Lashem, the Achakach Elo Ve'elom. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, he also does the two Olos, his own Ayil and the Ayil for the people. And then the Achakach Emuri Chatos, he then brings the sacrificial fats of the Sor Lashem and the Par of Lefnai V'Lefnim. And then Yachakach Tomit Shobein Abayim. And then he does this with the carbon Tomit Shobein Abayim in the middle of the tefillos. This is after the third tefillah, after he has put himself back in the golden garments, the Shmona Begadim. That is the full Tosefta, and that's the arrangement according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Brises from Shmuel and the Tosefta explain the respective Shitas and what goes where according to Rabbi Eliezer and according to Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara says, my time of the Rabbi Eliezer, what was the rationale behind Rabbi Eliezer going the order that he did, that he brought the Musafim with the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva that brought the Musafim based upon the Psukim that we brought down for Rabbi Akiva, that they were done with the carbon tomid of Shachris. So why did Rabbi Eliezer do them with the carbon tomid Shobein Harbayim? My time with Rabbi Eliezer that he says the carbon Musaf is brought with the carbon tomid Shobein Harbayim. So he says, Ovid Kedesiv. He says, you follow the order in the Chumash. Ovid Bereisha, the Torah's Kohanim. First, you do all the Korbanos that are listed in Vayikra. And then, Vahadar Ovid, the Chumash HaPkudim. And then you do all the Korbanos that are listed in the Musafim that are listed in Parshas Pinchas, in Bamidbar. Pekudim is Bamidbar. So therefore, that's the rationale behind Rabbi Eliezer. No, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva follow that? Rabbi Akiva, he says, like we already just said, you have to do all of these korbanos. That's what the Psukim tell us, according to Rabbi Akiva, that you do those Musafim with the korban tamid shel shachris. And therefore, that's why he disagrees, that you don't follow the order that's listed in Chumash, but you follow the Psukim's understanding, Movado Lasaboka Sheli Lasa Tomid. Not a Gemara asks, Nuv Rabbi Eliezer, what does he do? Hi, Movad Chatas HaKippurim, my Ovid Lay. So it seems to be that Rabbi Akiva is correct. It seems to say that this is Movad Chatas HaKippurim, which Rabbi Akiva had Darshan, that tells us that this outer Chatas, this Sawyer that's a Chatas, Irizim Echod Chatas, Milvad Chatas HaKippurim. So that seems to say that it has to be brought before you have the two Olos, the Isle of the Kohen Gadol and the Isle of the Am. Rabbi Akiva seems to have it in the right order based upon the understanding of the Psukim. What does Rabbi Eliezer do with that? So Gemara says, no, Rabbi Eliezer darshins it that you need the words, Milvad Chatas HaKippurim, how Meboile. He uses this to say that both the Sora Lashem and this series Echod Chatos is Movad Chatas HaKippurim comes to teach me that they're both bringing a kapara for Klai Yisrael on similar things. Just like the Sora Lashem brought a kapara for Tumas Mikdosh V'Kadoshav, so too did the Sir Izim that was brought as a Musaf of Yom Kippur, as well as the other Musafim that are brought on other Shlosh Regalim, they bring about a kapara for Tumas Mikdosh V'Kadoshav. So that's how Rabbi Eliezer learns the Pesukim. Now we continue in this Tosefta, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Akiva. As Rashi says, Mishmo means to Rabbi Akiva. So here's a different interpretation of Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, Echod Korev Im Tomit Shel Shachar. He says, these Shiva Kvosim, they're not all brought together, according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, they're not all brought together, like we had said, with the Korban Tomit Shel Shachris. He says, only one, Echad Kari V'Tomit Shel Shachar, and the other six, V'Shisha, they're brought in Tomit Shel Bein Harabayim. That's Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Rabbi Akiva. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Mishmo, he says in the name of Rabbi Akiva that Shisha Krav in Tomit Shel Shachar, the exact opposite. He brings six of them with the Karbon Tomit Shel Shachar, and only one of them, the Echad, in Karbon Tomit Shel Bein Harabayim. Now, what's their respective reasonings? So the Gemara says, Mai Tamai D'Rabbanan, what are these opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, based upon? So, Trey, Kroy, Ksiv. There's two psukim, and each of them darshens them a little bit differently. In Ksiv, it says in one place, Mavad Olas HaBoker, you have to bring it with the Korban Tomit Shel Shachris. But it also says, Uksiv, V'yotza, V'yoso, Es Olaso. And it says he will go do his Ola, which is the first aisle, and the Ola, the aisle of the nation, of Klai Yisrael. So, Hilkoch, therefore, we have a little bit of a problem. Ovid minayu hocha, uminayu hocha. Each of them says this comes to tell us to split up the Shiva Kvasim. You have to do some with the Korban Tomid Shel Shachris, and you have to do some with the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Harabayim, which is with the Isle of the People and the Isle of the Kohen Gadol. Now the Gemara says, Ovid minayu hocha, which ones are which? That's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. But my Kamifli, what are they arguing about? Review the Savar that it's better to go Ovid Chad, do one, Kidirsiv, Milvad, Ola Saboker, which seems to imply one, and then Vahadar, Avodah Sayom, and then go do the Yom Kippur service itself, the critical parts of the Yom Kippur service, the Sar Lashem, and the Par of Yom Kippur, Lufnai V'Lufnim, because maybe if you do so many right now at the beginning, the Mahusha Cholish Kai Gadol, the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing so many Kabbanas before he does the essential par and sor of Lufnai V'Lufnim, he'll be tired, and we don't want to tire him out. So better to do only one of the Shiva Kvasim, and this way he'll be fresh, or more fresher, and won't have any trouble doing those avodos Lufnai V'Lufnim. That's the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon disagreed. Sabar, kiven de aschil, since you started doing it, finish off most of it. Ovid Shisha, do already the six. You have to do six of them. You can't do all of them right now, so do the maximum number right now in the morning, because Dilma Pasha, because mistakes can happen. Right now you're doing it, finish it off. Do six of the seven, and you'll do the seventh one later on. Aye, choshu l'koyen gadol, delegabi avodas hayom zarisu. We're not worried about that. This is the most important avoda to do, the par and the sar l'ashem, l'fnai v'l'fnim. Koyen gadol is going to have a tremendous adrenaline surge. He's not going to be tired. Don't worry about that. But making a mistake, that I am concerned about. If he doesn't do most of them now, you have to do six later on. That's too easily to make a mistake, possibly, and therefore better to do that now. No, the bottom line is, the Gemara says, the Kuli Almas Mias, everybody agrees that Chad Ayilhu, there was only one Ayil that was brought on behalf of Klai Yisrael, not two. Now, who does this go like? Come on, this goes like Rebbe, Kirebbe, the Tanya, because we have a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So Rebbe tells us in the Braisa, Rebbe Omer, Ayil Echa, there's only one Ayil. It's mentioned in both Vayikra and in Bamidbar. Ha'omer Khan, who Ha'omer B'chomer Shabikud, the one that's mentioned in Vayikra is also mentioned in Pinchas. Okay. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Omer Shnei Elim Heim. No, these are two separate Elim. Echad Omer Khan, one is mentioned in Vayikra. The Echad Omer B'chomish Mikudim. One is mentioned in Bamidbar. What's the rationale behind each of their opinions? My time under Rabbi. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi, who says that it's one ayil? Tichsiv Echad, because the pasuk says Echad. They can't have a better raya than that. No, what's the raya after Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? What does he hold? Rabbi Elazar, Shimon, my Echad. What does he do with the word Echad? He means miyuchad should be edru. It means the most special one. You have to bring a very, very high quality animal. No, why doesn't Rabbi use the pasuk for that? Rabbi, he says, I know that already. Navkale mi buchar. Now, the gears that we have is zarecha, but it should be nidrechem. That's the pasuk. You always have to bring the best one. I don't need a special pasuk to tell me that this has to be the best one. No. Doesn't Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon know that as well? No, why does Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon say that you need a special pasuk here to tell me that it has to be the best one? Because he says that the difference. Chad b'chova v'chad b'nadova. Here it's telling me that it's obligatory. So you might have had a havamina. If it's obligatory, I can bring anyone. If I'm bringing a donation, oh, I better bring a good one. So I might have thought that a nadova is different than a chova. So therefore, chad b'chova v'chad b'nadova, or you could have said the exact opposite svar. I would have said, oh, if something's obligatory, you better bring for the best. If it's voluntary, anything you bring is good. So therefore, you need a special pasuk to tell me that you have to bring mivchar, you have to bring the best, whether it's a chova or whether it's a nadova, utzricha, and you need both, according to Rav Rabbi Shimon. Now we go back and we quote the Mishnah. It said, Kiddush Oder Raglov, he has to go and get dressed into the Big Day Lovin to go take out the Kaf and the Machta from Lufnai V'Lufnim. So Tana Rabban, we learned the Braisa, Ubo Aaron Elo Moed, when Aaron comes into the Elo Moed, so Lamuva, what's it talking about? That he goes inside? So it means here, it's telling us, Lahotzi Es HaKaf Es HaMachta, he's going back inside Lufnai V'Lufnim to take out the Kaf that held the Ketores, which he poured into Melo Chafdav, and the Machta, which held the coals, which he poured out to go and burn the incense, Lufnai V'Lufnim. And by the way, Shekola Parsha Kula, Nemrala said that everything that was written in Achrimos is in order. This is the one exception. Chutz mi pasuk zeh. How come my taima? So I'm Reb Chista. Gemiri chomesh tvilos v'asori kedushin tovel kohen gadol u'mekadosh bo b'yom. We had a Kabbalah. We had a Nesorah that we knew that he had to have the five immersions, and each one required two kiddush adayim v'raglayim. And if this wasn't written out of order, the amris kisidron k'sivi, and it was written in the right order, so then we would only have three. We wouldn't have had him go back inside to take out the kaf of the machta. He would have done it when he was wearing the white garments beforehand, and then you'd only have three tvilos and six kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Lo mishkachzlo el sholosh tvilos v'shisha kiddushim. And therefore, that's how we know that this is written out of order. Maskev lo Rezera. Rezera says, V'duma mafsik lei besor hanasa b'chutz. Maybe the sor hanasa b'chutz is the one that interrupts it. And in fact, that's why he has to get out of his white garments the first time. So Amar Rabbi, Abai says, no. Amar Kor, the Pasuk says, V'yotso, V'yotso, Esoloso. He has to go out and do his Ola, which is the Ola that he brought, as well as the Ola Sa'am. So Miyetziya Rishona Ovid Elo V'elo Am. According to this, he already did his Ayel and the Ayel of the Am, and therefore that can't be interrupting the service over here. It's already done. And therefore, it has to be that this Pasuk is out of order, and that is the explanation. We have the Masorah that there are five Tfilos and Asorah Kiddushin. With this, we conclude today's shir.